folks. Welcome back to Who Booked This? I'm Stephen Graham.
I'm J.R. Goldberg.
And this is not our first podcast, surprisingly.
No. We're off to about as good a start as this match we're about to talk about.
That's true. And we're talking about the, as we discussed last week, the lovely Johnny Ace versus Johnny Cena. Worst match of the year voted by the Wrestling Observer Newsletter voters of 2012. From over the limit, no DQ, no count out. If Johnny Ace loses, he is fired. If anyone interferes, they are fired, is the stipulation.
Yeah.
Which is quite intense. But before we get to that, last week we mentioned that we would like to start taking requests for matches. So the first bunch of episodes, we've been just kind of going back and forth and choosing. We put out requests and, you know, we've got quite a lot, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
So if you want to get your match request in, go to Pro Wrestling Only. We have a thread there. Or you can hit me up on Twitter. It's Stephen Graham, TWS. And what's your Twitter?
I'm at Wrestling Bubble.
There we go. So hit us up either of those places. And we are going to stop picking matches and we'll just go off these request lists because that's pretty good.
I don't even think we'll go in order. So like, don't feel like you'll be at the end of the line. Like, we may draw out of a hat, may pick ones that we think we have something to say about or that we've got some morbid curiosity about. So yeah, just pop them in and we'll start to talk.
Yeah. As long as it's a Russo match, there's gotta be a time difference before we
every 3 months is that what we said? Like that.
Not often is the key, but let's go back to the year 2012. How much were you watching at this time?
So it's bizarre because I was watching a ton of wrestling at this time, but I don't think I watched this pay-per-view. Which actually is probably not surprising because this is like, 2 years before the network or something like that. So I would have had to pay for this pay-per-view.
Or, as I did, find some nice streams online.
Yeah. Or like go to a bar, right? Like I remember I used to go to like, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever to watch pay-per-views.
I watched a couple in this era at the movie theater, which was fun.
Ah, sure. Yeah.
They do that in the States?
They did. Okay. Yeah.
It was pretty good until the network came and then it stopped.
Yeah. I don't think that really anyone does it anymore. But yeah, I used to love going to the bar or whatever and watching the pay-per-view. Me and my roommate in like 2007 and 2008, we did that all the time. And then the bar that, we would get them from closed. So then we started ordering all of them, which back then was super expensive. But hey, what are you going to
do? The only time I ordered pay-per-views, so in high school, me and my high school friends would get together and we would split it. So I'd order them then. And then after that, there was that point in 2005, 2006 when I really liked TNA and I would order all their pay-per-views.
But
that's the only time I would spend money.
In high school, I personally ordered only three pay-per-views.
Oh.
One was Over the Edge where Owen died.
Oh, great.
That was the first pay-per-view I ever ordered. That was the first pay-per-view my dad ever let me order.
The first one I got was King of the Ring, so a couple of months after.
Yeah, and then I ordered that one as well. And then I ordered one more. I have no recollection what it was, but a kid from school, like, was like, hey, are you going to watch the pay-per-view? And I was like, so desperate for friends. I was like, yeah, of course I'm going to order the pay-per-view. Do you want to come over? And he's like, yeah, sure. Like me and this kid named Dan, who like we were like acquaintances kind of, you know,
was
like sitting in my basement watching.
We started, Fully Loaded 98, I think, was like, because there wasn't really pay-per-view capabilities in Canada until around that point. We didn't get Nitro, we didn't get pay-per-views till like 98. So I think that's when we started ordering them. And I think we got most months. I know we missed a few in the Russo times because no one would bother. We started getting ECW ones instead.
I think that I think I spoke about this on one of the other podcasts about that girl Lillian that I knew who painted when she met Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Like, we would go to her house a lot because she had illegal cable. And then she would record them on VHS, and then we would watch them at school.
Nice. Speaking of illegal cable, so in 93, we moved out to the boonies because we were on the edge of Brockville, which is a 22,000-person town, and it was too loud and busy for my parents. So, so we moved out to the country where there's like cows in our backyard. So there was like a year or two where we didn't have anything. And then my parents got an American satellite.
Oh.
Yeah. So I remember scrolling through the channels. I found like Sandman Raven barbed wire match once, and I was able to watch ECW for a bit. I also, that was the first time in like 96, 97 when I found Lucha. We had a Spanish channel, and I was able to watch CMLL for a couple weeks until, I think my parents switched over to a Canadian satellite when it became available where we were. And that was the end of Lucha until it started airing on a French channel in like 2005.
How unbelievable. Someone could write a very interesting essay of like the history of Lucha on American and Canadian television.
Yeah. Because
like it always just pops up like for like 3 week periods, oh, Galavision just ran this one random 3 month period of AAA, you know.
There was a French channel in Quebec, and it was about 6 months, and it was like 4 or 5 months behind. But it started when Paraguayo Jr. turned heel. That was like the first show they played.
Yeah, well, that's a great place to start.
It was. I don't know who was in charge of this French channel, but they had good taste.
Yeah,
but we're stalling.
We are.
We're like Big Johnny.
Much like Johnny Ace. This
match. So, first of all, Mr. Excitement, Big Johnny, People Power, John Laurinaitis, Johnny Ace. Dude had some nicknames.
Yeah, he did. He did.
I loved it.
So, I guess to get back to our like original thing before we went off on tangent, I guess I was watching a good amount around this time, and like Johnny Ace was a bad authority figure. Like, can we just get that right out of the way? Like I understand that he was supposed to be an unlikable heel, but like he was not good in his role. I don't necessarily think.
I know I was watching. Maybe I wasn't watching the TV. Maybe that's the problem. Yeah. I don't really remember much of what he was doing. Like, I remember the show because there was like a Daniel Bryan CM Punk match.
Yeah.
And I kind of remember that, but man, I don't know why he was People Power. I had no idea until I watched the video package that he was the one that brought in Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
No idea about that. Or like, let's talk about that video package and the setup here, man.
I mean, the video package is pretty good. One of the things that I'm realizing doing this podcast now for a bit with you is like the WWE's video packages really sort of make you hyped for anything.
They do.
You know, like watching that Chronic Undertaker Kane video package, I'm like, this is one of the greatest storylines of all time. You know?
I tell you, Johnny Ace really went to work on the arm in the build-up.
Oh yeah,
which was great. but I have no idea. I guess John Cena wanted to fight him because I have no idea, to be honest. Do you?
I think John Cena wanted to fight him because, I guess it was twofold, right? Like, in that, like, John Cena was the only person, secure enough in their job to stand up to Johnny Ace, who was sort of mad with power, right?
Okay.
And then John Cena was also upset that Johnny Ace, unleashed Brock Lesnar.
Who he beat.
I was at that pay-per-view, actually, the Brock Lesnar return in Chicago.
Such a great match.
It was very good. Yeah. So I guess, there's a couple things that I want to talk about here. One, like I've done for most of these, I sort of skim through the pay-per-view before I get to the match. And like, I don't think I've ever seen another pay-per-view or wrestling show, maybe, that starts in the middle of a battle royal.
I know. I turned it on. I was like, wait, did I watch this before and I resumed? Like, what is
that? Yeah. No. And the announcers are like, oh, catching you up. Like, we've already started a battle royal. Like, people have been eliminated already. Yeah. I don't know. Here's Tyler Rex is here.
The only thing I can think of that's similar was going back to it, TNA's debut on Spike TV. It started like with Samoa Joe kicking AJ Styles in the head in the middle of a match and went from there. They like they started mid-match to get you excited because you turn it on and Samoa Joe's kicking someone's ass. I guess maybe that's what they're going for. But it was probably something like they had a pre-show and you'd already been watching the battle royal start or something.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, and the battle royal is like Christian's return. I mean, it's pretty underwhelming, even though Christian's awesome.
And that's when he had the great Randy Orton feud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy. See, I remember this time. Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, this time had a lot of good and a lot of bad. Like, it's a really uneven roster. I guess I just like, That sort of stood out to me. And then I also, if Johnny Ace is in charge of both shows and him getting fired from both shows is on the line tonight, why didn't they make this 2 out of 3 fall? Like they should have. Right?
Like one fall he loses one GM spot and the other fall he loses
exactly.
The other.
Yeah, why not? Right? And then a third fall for something else. Like he gets to keep his job in some other capacity or something. There you know? Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
People Power comes out, Big Johnny, first thing I kind of noticed here is that, this is full in heel Michael Cole announcing.
Yeah, so it is and it isn't though, right? Because like Michael Cole is clearly supposed to be a heel, but then throughout the match, he just keeps corpsing and like losing it and laughing and like making fun of it, right? Like, Michael Cole shits on this match.
He does.
Throughout.
He does. I'll tell you, I had to tune out the commentary at some point. Like, you had Michael Cole fake cheering on Johnny Ace, and then you had Booker T and Jerry Lawler just laughing with fake laughter the entire match. Yes. And it was just, it was almost unbearable. It was very grating.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I guess we'll get to it later, but this match does have maybe the most genuine laugh of anything we've watched so far out of me came in this match, which is saying something because we watched a match with Dusty.
That's true. What was that spot? Let's get to it.
So, all right, we'll skip ahead a little bit. So there is a spot late in the match where John Cena is beating up Johnny Ace and he sits him down at the Spanish announce table. And he puts the headset on Johnny Ace and then he puts a headset on himself and he starts to announce the match, right?
But as Michael Cole
and then he tells Johnny Ace, who's like concussed and out of it because he's gotten his ass kicked for 10 minutes already, right? He's like, all right, you've got the voice, you be Booker T. And then Johnny Ace just sort of mumbles five time which, like, legitimately a funny moment. I have to say I laughed at that.
What's really funny about that is it was the fake commentary that was actually like annoying to me until he did the five time, and then it was funny.
Yeah, no, the fake, like all of John Cena stuff in there is terrible. Like it's like John Cena at his corny worst.
Okay, this is match. This is what I've learned from listening to the Bruce Pitchard podcast.
Okay.
This match, Vince McMahon would have loved. This is like Vince McMahon's wet dream. It's bad comedy. It's embarrassing someone. It's humiliating someone. Vince McMahon was in the back laughing his ass off at this.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I'm sure that's true, you know? And like, I will say, like, you know, I just spent 5 minutes or whatever, like crapping on the Johnny Ace character and how bad he was in it. And that's true. I'm not walking that back. But like, there is something that's like weirdly ambitious about the Johnny Ace authority figure character, where like, Vince is this like cartoonishly evil corporate overlord, like the Mr. McMahon character, right?
Yeah.
But like, there's something even more unlikable about John Laurinaitis, who's just like the worst middle manager you've ever worked with, all rolled into one. Like, we've all had a boss like John Laurinaitis, you know?
Yeah.
Just not, he's not like actually, like, he's just incompetent.
Yeah. Right?
And he like, but he doesn't understand that he's incompetent. So he enforces things poorly. It enrages you.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure that Vince views John Laurinaitis in real life as just some sort of like bizarre pencil pusher or whatever. So I'm sure Vince absolutely loved this match. I know that in my heart of hearts, I know it.
He might have pissed his pants laughing at this.
Yeah, that's probably true.
especially, I think the airplane spin spot where
yeah. Or when he gets garbage dumped on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, this match, let's break down the story here. It's John Cena embarrassing Johnny Ace, and Johnny Ace trying to run away for about 10 minutes.
Forever. For so long.
For so long. And, like, John Cena would get on the mic, and he'd be like, I'm going to put the STF on you. If you quit, you're fired. If you last 10 seconds, I'll let it go. And the crowd chants 10. And then he does it again. And he does it again. He does it
oh,
again.
My God. Right. Yeah. They are like, all right, you know how WWE pay-per-views, because they're mostly on the network now, they like, everything goes long as hell.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this pay-per-view, like, they must have cut a segment, something. They went home early or something. So, before the match, they were like, all right, John, you have to fill, okay? Like, we cannot go off the air for another 15 minutes, all right? You got to figure this out.
17 minutes and 2 seconds. Bell to bell.
It feels so long.
It does.
But, all right, there's a couple of things that I want to talk about, because there are specifics of this match that need to be addressed. One, can we talk about how if this happened today and John Cena or whoever the John Cena equivalent at this time is, let's just say Roman Reigns, fought a non-wrestler in the main event while Punk versus Bryan was third to last, Twitter would explode and it would be amazing.
It would.
And let's also say that I think at this point, so Johnny Ace had a 5-star match in AJPW, and Daniel Bryan to this day does not, right?
I believe so, that's really true.
Yeah, this is the work rate main event, right?
Yeah, Johnny Ace was a great worker.
Yeah, this has the higher potential. Two 5-star workers versus only one in the Punk.
Yeah, and weirdly, like, this doesn't happen for a while, but like, Johnny Ace married Nikki Bella's mother.
Yeah.
Like 5 years after this.
Yeah.
So Nikki, obviously.
Everyone's related.
Yeah. They've broken up now, but at one point, Cena and Nikki were pretty close. So.
Yes. Yeah.
So pretty fun stuff. Yeah. So John Cena does a bunch of stupid comedy. He embarrasses Johnny Ace in every way, pours water on him.
Yep.
Fire extinguisher. He dumps garbage. He airplane spins him so he falls out of the ring. I'm surprised he didn't tie his shoelaces together, to be honest.
Yeah. That would have been up there.
But at one point, so Johnny Ace starts to run away, and he's trying to run away a few times. And Cena goes after him, and he catches his arm on the guardrail, which starts a decent enough heat sequence for this match.
Yeah, that's a high point in the match.
It was the arm work by Johnny Ace.
Yeah, I also, I mean, like, I actually think it's pretty decent character work of like, Johnny Ace is trying to run away the entire time, from literally from moment one. Like, the bell rings
and he takes off.
Right? But then when he sees Cena hurts his arm, he's like, oh no, I got this now. Right? Like one of my favorite things about wrestling is when heels are hoisted by their own petard.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I like when heels outsmart themselves and things like that. So, I mean, to me, that's sort of pretty classic. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I also really enjoyed earlier in the match when Michael Cole read out all of John Laurinaitis's AJPW title wins.
That's pretty good.
Which was pretty great.
Yeah. But like, here's a question.
Yeah.
Did Jerry Lawler or Booker T actually say anything, or did they just laugh all match?
I think they legitimately just laughed. Like I don't think they may have at some point told Michael Cole to shut up at various points. Booker T probably said nothing. But Lawler shit on it a couple of times, right?
Yeah. So I'm telling you, this was Vince McMahon's favorite match.
Yeah.
The point where I realized that is whenever Cena went, he got a glass of water, he got on the mic, and he's like, oh, you're probably thirsty too, and grabs three bottles of water and dumps two on his head, and the third one he poured down his pants.
Yeah, just poured it right on his penis. Oh no, Booker T did say something in this match, because Booker T made a shrinkage joke.
Okay. I missed that one.
Yeah, he made a shrinkage joke.
Oh boy, of course he did.
So this match reminds me a lot, if you'll forgive a story. So I went to a Chikara show years and years ago. I mean, I've been to a bunch of Chikara shows. But on this one, it was like right after the BDK stuff. And there was a match where Pinky Sanchez wrestled Eddie Kingston. And so throughout the match, like, I'm sort of watching it, and the match is about what you'd expect of Eddie Kingston just stiffing Pinky Sanchez. And I realized that all of the Chikara roster was like out behind, you know, like they had come out of the curtain and they're just sort of like watching it and like giggling, basically. And so I went up, after the show to one of the Chikara wrestlers who, you know, like, I knew in a casual sense, like, and stuff before, and I was like, why did you guys all come out? And he said, well, we all sort of wanted to see a guy we like beat the shit out of a guy that we all thought was asshole. And I sort of feel like maybe this is the same thing where, like, everyone doesn't actually like John Laurinaitis, you know, who was VP of talent relations, right? Like, he took Jim Ross's job. So, like, part of me thinks that, like, you know, this prolonged 15-minute embarrassment was like Vince throwing the boys a bone and being like, yeah, everyone hates this guy, why can't get a fucking, you know?
Which, like, this is the main event of a pay-per-view that people had to pay for.
Yes.
Like, that's like, if that's the way it is, that's insanity.
I mean, it wouldn't be the most far-fetched thing
in the world. It's not far-fetched. Like, that's what makes it sad. But it's insane. Can you imagine running like a million-dollar company and you're just like, I'm going to waste, you know, thousands or millions of dollars just to embarrass someone? A publicly traded company.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. Also, I mean, I don't know if this is true, and it probably isn't, but part of me thinks, or part of me wants to believe, that this is the first instance, or one of the first instances, that we got a CM Punk chant during a shitty main event or whatever that didn't involve CM Punk.
Yeah. But, you know, he was on the show earlier.
He was on the show earlier, but we do get, a pretty pronounced CM Punk chant we do now, you know, whenever something.
Where was this? Was this in Chicago too, or?
No, it was in North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina, wow.
It was at the NC State campus.
Basically. Oh, yeah, yeah. Remember him when he went backstage, they talked about him going to the NC State. I remember that. So I guess we can kind of talk about this finish and try to make sense of it, because it doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Before we do that,
okay.
Like, can we talk about how this match is, like, I guess theoretically no DQ, but there's also like 8,000 different rules and stipulations of things that people aren't allowed to do within the match.
What do you mean?
Well, like, it's no DQ, but if people interfere, they're fired. Like, it's like there's no rules.
It has to be one-on-one.
The rules.
Yeah. You're fired if you lose. And yeah, it was, this was very convoluted.
Yes.
Very convoluted. This was like if Paul Heyman was really bad at his job type of booking.
Yeah.
So Vince Russo. But this is like, this is better.
There is like, okay. I mean, it is pretty Russo-rific.
But like, this is better. The finish actually is very Russo-rific, to be honest. So,
yeah.
So what happens here is Johnny Ace runs away. And what I don't get is, like, no one knows what to do. Like, they never thought about what if Johnny Ace ran away. Like, Michael Cole thinks that it's a draw, so that means he's not fired. The referee and John Cena just stare at each other.
Yeah, John Cena does not do anything. He just stands there.
Not knowing what to do at all. It's like, well, he beat me. He bested me.
He outsmarted me.
He ran away.
Like literally nothing is going on. There is so much dead air in this match. Oh,
yeah.
You could edit. This match is like a baseball game. Where, like, you could edit a 3-hour baseball game down into like 4 minutes of actual like action, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you could edit this 17 minutes down to about 3.5 minutes of like a tight wrestling.
Speaking of which, so a couple of years ago, I live in Toronto. Blue Jay tickets are pretty easy to come by. They play a lot of games. And I'm a math guy. So I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll get into baseball. I used to watch as a kid. So I Googled and I looked up, like, how do you get into baseball, or like, how do you enjoy baseball? And everything I read was basically do everything else but watch baseball. Like, read a book and look up it during the important parts, or listen to the radio. And then when something important happens, look up from your screen. Like, it was all about you can enjoy baseball, but not by not watching baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it is a pastime. Like, I enjoy baseball, and like I like watching like the World Series. Like, I think playoff baseball is really intense because everything is meaningful in a baseball game, theoretically, you know. Yeah. But Joe Lanza and Voices of Wrestling watches like every pitch of every Cincinnati Reds game. You know, God love him for it. You know. I don't understand how someone.
I do that with Maple Leafs, but hockey's a lot more exciting. But let's not. This is not a Canadian-centric podcast, and I will not shit on my American listeners. So let's get back to this finish. So Johnny Ace rounds away. No one knows what to do. Michael Cole declares it a draw, and Johnny Ace is not fired. Which, if that was the stipulation, Johnny Ace should have been trying harder to run away. But so to set this up, apparently a week ago, Big Show made fun of Johnny Ace, and Johnny Ace fired him for, I don't know how a publicly traded company can fire someone because they made fun of someone else, but he did it.
I mean, we're in the same world where the head of the two flagship shows of a publicly traded company can be put into a match for his job by the board of directors.
And the board of directors are like putting stipulations on it.
Yeah, no, they put via letter. They literally delivered a letter to the middle of the ring.
Yes, they did. And John Cena stole it and they laughed at him. So he runs away, and Big Show, who was fired, so he can interfere. This is good storytelling because he can't be fired because he's already been fired. Right. So he drags Johnny Ace back to the ring. Big Show looks like he's getting his nice revenge. John Laurinaitis.
Johnny Ace, by the way, takes a sick, like, AJPW 94 head drop bump when Big Show throws him over the top rope here, by the way.
Yeah.
he straight up bumps like he took a back body drop driver from the ghost of Hawkeye.
The only thing that this match really, like, I was hoping for, we didn't get, was an Ace Crusher.
Yeah, oh, an Ace Crusher would have been great.
It would have. Big Show throws him back in the ring. John Cena goes for the attitude adjustment. He avoids it. He pushes him into Big Show. Big Show looks like he's going to choke slam him, but he pushes him back into Cena. Cena hoists him up for the attitude adjustment, and then Big Show punches Cena in the face, knocking him out with his whatever his knockout punch was called at the time. And Johnny Ace wins.
A mass destruction. Right?
A weapons of mass destruction, yeah. Big Johnny gets the win. Michael Cole freaks out.
Yeah.
Okay. what the fuck?
So, like, I feel like throughout this experiment, where we've watched a lot of this stuff, I think I've been pretty forgiving. I think we've watched a lot of the stuff that people say, like, oh, this is the worst. And I try and, like, find the good in it, you know? Throughout this match, this match is not good by any stretch. But, like, when people are chanting CM Punk and stuff like that, I was sort of like, well, like, it's a match between John Cena and John Laurinaitis. Like, what are you expecting? Like, you're not going to get work rate classic, right? Like, this is actually pretty well put together considering the participant, you know?
Sure.
And like, I sort of thought that it was laid out well. And then as soon as the Big Show heel turn happens, I just like I got retroactively pissed. I was like, this doesn't affect television for me today, but I am mad that I just watched that for a Big Show heel.
One of my least favorite things in wrestling is whenever someone is going to turn heel and they fake not turning heel and then turn heel at the end.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, Big Show's right out there for, like, if he was going to turn heel.
We've had two of those matches in a row. I mean, that's basically what the entire Russo's revenge is.
Yeah, exactly. But like, so if this was Big Show's plan all along, he was going to help Johnny Ace win, should just came at the fucking start of the match and beat the shit out of John Cena.
100%.
Why is he hype? Like, so this is Johnny Ace's plan, is that at one point, he's going to run away.
Yeah.
And once he runs away, he's going to use Big Show to drag him into the ring and then hope that he can distract Cena enough that Big Show can knock him out and get the win.
Yes. The only way the storytelling works is if Johnny Ace did not know, like, had told Big Show, you'll get your job back if you do this, but Big Show hadn't answered, right?
Yeah.
That's the only way the storytelling works, which, who knows? I'm not going to watch the Raw after this to find out.
No. To be fair, Johnny Ace did try to run away at the start. So
he did.
If, I guess, in his perfect world, if he ran away right at the beginning and then Big Show brought him in, that would have been the plan.
Yeah,
but like, I guess he had to have known.
It's still a terrible plan. Like, this is, we had this discussion last week too, when we're talking about his revenge. Where, like, why are all these heel authority figures, like, how are you laying out a plan where you're like, all right, guys, here's the deal. I weigh 130 pounds. You guys are all, like, roided out of your domes. Everyone here, beat the shit out of me for 15 minutes just so we can swerve the good guys. Like, what? You know?
Okay.
If I was a heel authority figure, I would be like, I'm going to put all my cards on the table right from the very beginning.
Okay. You know? This is the new segment we're going to do for this kind of shit.
Okay.
You're Johnny Ace. You're put in this match in this situation. What are you doing? What's your plan?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I like, first off, you have like underlings, right? Like you have,
but they'd be fired.
David Otunga, Eve Torres, and Teddy Long.
They'd all be fired if they interfered.
But you can just tell them that if they don't interfere, you will also fire them.
Or he could have fired them like he fired the Big Show.
Yeah.
And then they could interfere for free.
What was the pay-per-view? Oh God. The pay-per-view where there was the ladder match and Mankind was going up for the title, and the corporation interfered. They raised the title up, right?
Was that Vincent Chain versus Steve Austin in the ladder match?
Oh yeah, it was Vincent Chain versus Steve Austin, right? And what they spent was that they fired the Big Boss Man that night because no one in the corporation was allowed to interfere.
Yeah, right? So they fired the Boss Man. So
they fired Big Boss Man, who then raised up the title, and then because he did such a good job, they rehired the Boss Man.
Yeah. So Johnny Ace should have just fired everyone that was on his side.
Yeah.
And then had them stampede John Cena and beat him up.
Yeah, totally. I mean, just like do the same thing. So here's my question. Is this what led into the Big Show like ironclad contract gimmick that he had for a while? Or was that later? I mean,
wasn't that like, no, like that was during the, wasn't that during the Big Show, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, like authority figure time, like 2 years later? Or was that now?
No, it could have been 2 years later. I feel like it was that around when Stephanie was there too, when she was the authority figure.
Big Show has had quite the career.
Oh man. For a guy as talented and giving as Paul White, like, and maybe that's the thing, like, maybe he was too giving for his size because he has been put in some garbage.
You know, he won the world title in his first match.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And they kept calling him Andre the Giant's son. But that's a show.
It's all downhill from there.
It is all
literally all downhill.
Yeah. So, okay. So my plan, so your plan, you would fire a bunch of people that you had on your side and then use them to interfere.
Yes. Right. Another plan. Hold on. I got another plan. Put people under masks so they don't know who they were.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like fake stings. Like when they had a million fake stings.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Would first I'd hide Big Show under the ring.
Oh, already a good plan.
Just like St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
And sure.
And like cut his way through.
Good call,
but also I would bring in my former tag team partner Kenta Kobashi to deliver a burning hammer.
Another strong plan.
That'd be my two plans. And then I would hit an ace crusher and get the win.
All right, so like this is a really interesting hypothetical question. In WWE 2012, so this is like before the network, before like, I mean, probably most fans at this point were smart. I don't think they're quite as smart as they are now. What would the live reaction have been to Over the Limit 2012 ending with Kenta Kobashi giving John Cena a burning hammer?
Was Kobashi retired at this time too?
No, I think Kobashi was still wrestling in 2012.
Okay, so you could have had a payoff. Like SummerSlam could have been Cena versus Kobashi.
Yeah, I mean, why not, right? Like there has to be a match between Cena and Kobashi, which would have been great at any time, right?
Yeah, that would have been awesome. And John Cena was pulling out Kobashi-like chops early in this match, too.
John Cena hits a pretty stiff lariat to start off this match.
He does, too. Oh, man. We're meandering all over the place.
That's all right. There's not a ton to talk about with this match, except, like, I mean, like, who booked this as an apt title for this? Because it is a mess. Like, this match, this is the first match that hasn't just been bad, it's been indefensible.
I think this was the let's give Vince McMahon joy match.
Yeah, sure.
This was like every spot was planned to like pop Vince.
100%. I mean, and like this is the first match, like, and I'm not a Meltzer hater by any stretch, or like I don't disagree with Juan readers all the time or on principle, but like, this is the first match that we watched that won Juan worst match of the year, where I came away after watching this match being like, yep, you got that one right. I cannot imagine something being worse than this.
I am going to look up what came in second and third.
Oh, that's a good. I mean, I may not remember those things, but they can't be worse than this. They legitimately can't.
Well, let's find out.
I may stop watching wrestling if there's something that I remember being worse.
There's going to be like lots of worse. This is not. Is this the worst match you've ever seen?
This may be like the most annoying match I've ever seen. Like, just in terms of like this is like finger poke of doom level for me. For whatever reason, it just got under my skin.
Okay, so number two. Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis is number one. Number two, Santina Marella versus Ricardo Rodriguez from
June 17th. I'm sure that match was good.
Number three, Clay Guida versus Gray Maynard, which sounds like a UFC fight.
Yeah, I have no idea what those people
I
are.
Think I think that's I a assume... UFC fight, and I don't know how that could possibly be a worst match of the year.
Well, I mean, all UFC is boring, but, okay. I can't imagine. It's boring in a different way for different reasons, you know?
Nice. So, next up from January 29th, John Cena versus Kane. It's tied for fourth from August 23rd, Gunner versus Chris Lewis. No idea. Number six from August 20th, the Divas Battle Royal. Number seven, one I'll disagree with from WrestleMania, Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan.
Oh, the 17 second yeah. one? That match is awesome.
Yeah, it is. Number eight, June 17th. That was the second June 17th, but it's the second one. Man, this show on June 17th was horrible.
We may have to watch the whole show. Yeah,
Brodus Clay versus David Otunga.
Oh, that could have been really bad. But like that, I'm sure that's bad just because it's like two guys who are bad at wrestling.
Yeah,
you know, it's bad in like a way worse way. You know.
Yeah, and finally, number nine is Gunner versus Garrett Bischoff.
Gunner making the list twice.
So did John Cena. So, what is this June 17th, 2012 WWE show?
Yeah, we'll have to look. I mean, it must have been a pay-per-view, no right? Oh, we'll have to watch No Way Out 2012.
That's got this is the follow-up. It's got John Cena versus Big Show, with John Cena with Mr. McMahon in his corner. And Big Show with John Laurinaitis in his corner in a steel cage match where Laurinaitis was fired if Cena won, but if Big Show won, Cena was fired.
Imagine booking two pay-per-views in a row based on John Laurinaitis' job status.
It was done. Oh, the Ricardo Rodriguez Santino match was a tuxedo match.
That already sounds awesome.
Yeah. What else have we got here?
Someone request that so that I can watch.
Oh,
that.
The Brodus Clay Otunga match is it looks like a pre-show match. Yeah. So that's sad. But Sheamus versus Dolph Ziggler.
Sheamus was on a tear at this point, right?
Yeah. Christian versus Cody Rhodes. The Primetime Players versus Justin Gabriel. Like the Primetime Players defeated Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd. Primo and Epico and the Usos.
I'm sure that was fine.
Layla versus Beth Phoenix, which I remember liking.
Yeah.
Sin Cara versus Hunico. In five, almost 6 minutes. CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan versus Kane.
That's
trolling right there. And the semi main event, Ryback versus Dan Delaney and Rob Grimes.
What a pay-per-view. Oh, man.
Yeah, if we ever do a full show, that might be the one.
That has to be it. Yeah. That card layout, if there were like four more matches on it, that card layout is like WCW 2000 level of like throwing in the towel. Like, that is a terrible card.
We have a request for a WCW 2000 match.
Good. Yeah.
So maybe we'll get to it. But do you recommend anyone watch this?
No, I recommend people stay far away from this match.
Wow.
Unless like you value the introspective crisis that came from watching this, because it like made me think about whether or not I actually like.
See, I thought War Games 2000 was worse.
See, at least War Games 2000 like had some stuff that I thought was ridiculous. Like, War Games 2000 had Scott Steiner. It can't be worse.
There is something about Vince Russo that I just can't stand anything he's done.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I think the only reason the Attitude Era was successful is because Steve Austin, The Rock, and Mankind and Vince McMahon were awesome and overcame the horrible, horrible booking.
Oh yeah, that's 100% true. Yeah.
I mean,
if you go back, if you ever want, anyone who's listening to this too, if you haven't done it, feel free to go and do it. Like, anytime someone tells you, like, how great the Attitude Era is, or, like, how great the roster was, or, like, they don't book the mid card like they do anymore, just put on an Attitude Era Royal Rumble for that person.
1999.
And you realize how absolutely thin everything is except for Steve Austin, basically.
We'll have to watch that one day, because the one with Vince McMahon.
But
someone's got to request it. Anyway, so let's end this, because this was quite the spectacle. And what are we watching next week? We are watching a request from actually an old high school friend of mine who hit us up on Twitter, which you can do and get your request in.
Totally. This
is from Tyler Beach, who wants to see us do the World War III Battle Royal.
95, right?
1995.
A giant in every ring.
There's a giant in every ring, and one of the giants is Hulk Hogan. And I have a very interesting question about the title of the match, which I will ask to you next week.
That's good. That's a good lead.
Good teaser. So,
good teaser.
Join us next week, and we will talk about the Third World War, I guess.